Dear friends, a week ago I attended a continuing education conference called the Festival of Homiletics in Minneapolis. At this conference, pastors and professors and authors gave lectures to share about their view of what's going on in our country with Christianity. Now, here are some sound bites from these excellent speakers. The first one who opened up the conference was Dr. Jim Forbes. He was the former senior pastor of the iconic Riverside Church in New York City. He is now 83 years old, and he was very dynamic. And he said, "I have a vision about a dream team that is going to change how we live, changing our country." And he looked at us, at the pastor, said, "You are going to be this dream team." Forbes crescendoed in his sermon by saying, "God does not dominate. Domination is over, but God's love is the hope for the world." The next speaker was Reverend Dr. Artis Moss, the third from Trinity United Church of Christ in Chicago. He said, "It is too early to give up the church. We are all in transition. Church is not about building and budget, but it is all about connectivity with humans." One of my favorite speakers was Brian McLaren, who is the author of many thought-provoking books. He challenged us to widen our imagination. He used the phrase, "It is time to lift the dome." That's how I came up with my message title for today. He showed us how often Jesus used parables to lift the dome, to change the common thinking and habits of people. He encouraged us to take people in our churches on a field trip outside of the comfortable church. So this morning I want to take you on a field trip outside of the church and show you something, a larger vision, so that we're able to see, so that we can see that the impossible can become possible. Last week we learned from the Apostle Peter that he had a larger vision about the church, that it is not just about a small group of people in Jerusalem. He said to the big meeting in Jerusalem where all the apostles came together, he challenged them and says, "We need to share the message with the Gentiles." And they first had their issues with it because they thought it is only, you have to be first a Jew before you become a Christian, but Peter convinced them. So the vision became larger. And the number one preacher, apostle, who was assigned directly from God to promote this vision was Paul. So today the story is about Paul, how Paul is reaching out. And Paul first thought he needs to go to Asia, but there were a ton of roadblocks he experienced. Things didn't work out. And so in a dream, God opened his vision, his spiritual eyesight. He says, "Don't go to Asia. I want you to go to Philippi, a special town, a Roman colony. And there you're going to share what you experienced in your life and who God is in your life." So he and his two friends, Timothy and Silas, went now to Philippi, a city that was built and founded by Philip II of Macedonia in 362 BC. This city was now between Europe and Asia, a major crossroad. The nice city was always busy with travelers and business people who came there. There was a gold mine not far from the city. There were a medical school. So this was a place where a lot of people went. Now when Paul came to the city, he actually was looking for a synagogue, so where he could share his message. No synagogue, not at all. People were shaking their head. "No, we don't have that here. We have many other things." But wait a minute. Isn't there outside of the city, next to the river Ganga, there are always a group of people who are meeting. It's a place of prayer. Maybe check that out. So Paul and Silas and Timothy went there, and on a Saturday morning, and yes, indeed, there were people, mainly women, who were there and were praising God. So they sat and listened what they did. And then there was a moment of silence, and they looked at these guys. They noticed they were out-of-towners. So what do you think? Well, this was their moment, and Paul shared his story. He started talking about what happened in his life, how he first persecuted this new Christian sect, and said, what are you talking? What is this Christian sect? Well, these are people who follow Jesus. Who is Jesus? So Paul told them who Jesus is, God's son, and what Jesus did about his miracles, about his vision, about God's kingdom, and how Jesus died for our sin and how he rose from the cross. The women looked and says, we never heard anything like this before. The leader of the group was a woman, beautiful, dressed in purple clothes, and it turned out her name was Lydia, and she was a businesswoman in Philippi, sewing and designing beautiful clothes for the people who were able to buy the special clothes. So she was very well-to-do. She was a very influential woman. She said, Paul, we have more questions about who this Jesus is. Tell us more. And did he really live? And did he really say all the things you said? And so Paul affirmed. And then she said, well, how can I become a follower of this Jesus? Baptism. What is baptism? Well, it's water. We have the river right here. And you will become a follower, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. She said, I would like to be baptized. And my whole family, my whole household, can they be baptized too? Yes, they can. So they were all baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then the woman insisted, and that happens when you baptize. That happens when your eyesight is open. That happens when you connect with God. I want you to come to my house, because then people want to do something. They want to share God's love. She invited everyone to stay at her house. She fed them. They talked. Other people came, neighbors. So the first house church was started. They had a great time. They made new friends. Literally, when the woman opened her heart, the dome lifted in her life. This was something that she never experienced. She shared generosity. She shared her gift of hospitality. In our gospel reading that you just heard from John 14, something very similar happened. Now the dome was very low. The disciples were a little depressed because Jesus was telling them, you know what? My time comes to an end. I will go to the cross. I will die. I will move on to God. You're going to be okay. What do you mean we're going to be okay? You are our leader. You're gone. Now what? We don't know what we need to do. Our purpose is gone now. And Jesus says, no, it's actually the beginning. And I'm going to give you something that will fuel your life for every moment. And you will have something that you can pass on. It is this peace. He says, peace I will leave you. My peace I give you. And when Jesus said this, somehow their depression, their dome that was low, became much larger. It lifted up, and they were hopeful that this is all going to work out. Now you wonder, how can this happen for us? It did happen 10 years ago. Started out with a cup of coffee, Panera. I talked to Jane Sloger. At the time, she was the village nurse. And I said, Jane, I have an idea, a vision. There's so many people in this community who are seniors and are at home. What about if we would have a ministry here at Christus Victor, like a respite, so that the caregivers could have some respite, have some time for themselves, and we develop a program, socialization, and with a spiritual community, and reach out to that population. She had many questions, good questions, so we talked, and we built a board, and today we are celebrating 10 years of our caring place. And I invited this morning our director, March Hart, and so I want to ask her a few questions. how this all started, how she got involved, and what is happening right now, because something is happening right now. So thank you, March, for coming up this morning. She was here already yesterday, so we had a good conversation yesterday, and here is March Hart from our Caring Place. Tell us, how did you get involved? They give you an applause before you even say something. Look at this, how awesome.
Maybe so, I should just go sit down
No, you're good, you're good. So tell us, how did you get involved? How did it started with you and the Caring Place?
I didn't get a cup of coffee.
I know.
But I got a phone call.
You got a phone call. Yeah. I know.
And Jane and I knew each other because I used to be at the senior center. And I was retiring. I wanted to retire so that I could go and be with my mother more often because she was suffering from Alzheimer's. And before I retired, she passed away. So I didn't have my mother to take care of, but when Jane called, well, actually, Pastor called. Jane had talked to me, and I was on the board for this respite program. So I knew a little bit about it, and I thought, well, maybe this would take the place of taking care of my mother. And it really has. I feel like I've done something when I go home. I'm sometimes exhausted, but a good kind of exhausted. Like I've done something for other people. And, you know, some people retire and then they just sit at home and do nothing. I'm not that kind of person. I do like to do nothing sometimes, but not always.
So tell us what is happening right now.
Well, something right now,
is really.
Yeah, I'm not here to ask for money today.
No.
That probably surprises you, huh? But the township has given us a grant. And the village has given us a donation. And between these two donations, we are able to hire somebody to escort our participants to the bathroom, bring them back safely. If they need help in the bathroom, a trained person is with them. I certainly am not trained to do that, and I'm so grateful that we were able to get this grant and somebody else is with us to take care of that. What we do at Respite is basically people who sit and do nothing will become more less cognitive, and there's research that proves this. So what we do is we keep them busy. We don't let them sleep. Sometimes they fall asleep, but we wake them up, and we play games. We have, their favorite game is Farkle, if anybody has ever played that. It's a dice game. They love to play cards. We have arts and crafts and just all kinds of things. We exercise, and we just keep them busy. And it keeps us busy, too.
So you're not what asking I'm here, for money. What are you asking? Tell us.
Well, I don't want money. I want you. I want you to come and be a part of the program and volunteer. And, you know, one of us will be there all the time. And we kind of direct, you know, well, let's play this game or let's do this activity. And that's all you need to do. And you get to meet people who sometimes, you know, need that extra caring. And companionship is very important with people who are faced with Alzheimer's or dementia. But I want to point out that this program is not just for those people. I mean, some of them have had strokes. Some of them are just home doing nothing, and their kids have realized that they need to get out and socialize. So if you have a half a day, a whole day, I'll be out in the lobby after this service, and I'll be glad to talk to you about it, and I'd love to have you join us.
Good, and last night at Saturday, already a lady inquired.
Yeah,
had some
I have
question,
somebody now. Yeah.
And so, which was good. So maybe this touched you this morning. It's Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays for a few hours. If that's something you like to do, talk to March or talk to me. So let's give her a hand and thank her for this ministry now 10 years. Thank you, March. With this ministry, literally, she lifted the dome of this congregation for this community. People experienced and had wonderful time and coming here. Here at Christus Victor, we constantly pray and try to lift the dome. Last Sunday, I heard, and I hope the number is right, that 25 people met at the Hinojosa's home for our first chat and chew gathering. Here, they shared food, had a wonderful time together. I heard that there are around 40 people, showed interest, and that there will be five groups that are meeting on a regular basis to come together, share food, socialize, support each other, get to know their stories, and become friends. So I invite all of you to think, maybe I need to be a part of that group and join and get to know new friends. Today, you are one of the first ones. I shared it last night, so they heard it first, so you're the second first. We are starting a brand new ministry here at Christus Victor. It is called, you will see the picture now, Dinner Church. It will start on June 20th on a Thursday, and you are all invited to bring a neighbor, to bring a friend. You will go to the fellowship hall. There will be beautiful tables decorated, and you sit and you just take a deep breath. And there will be food on, you don't have to get up, stay in line like we often do. Food will be served on the table. We will say a prayer. We will bless the food. We will hear some scripture reading, the reading that you hear on the following weekend. We will have a short summary of the message for the weekend, but then we have questions and we engage in a conversation. You still eat and enjoy the food, and then we will have bread and wine at the table. We will consecrate bread and wine, and we will share it, and we will say the body of Christ given for you, the blood of Christ shed for you. And then we sing a few songs, and then an important part, we all clean up together. We are serving together. We get up, bring the dishes back and clean, and then we come back and receive a blessing. So all this will be an hour and 15 minutes every Thursday through July. We will end in August 8th. This is a fantastic opportunity for you to bring a friend, to come to church and experience community. I believe this will lift the dome. I'm looking forward to how God is lifting the dome in my life. Well, I got some new glasses to see better. I'm planning to increase my time of exercise and my time in prayer and reflection. And I'm planning to spend more time with my boys this summer doing fun stuff together. Now, during my time in Minneapolis at Central Lutheran Church and at Westminster Presbyterian Church, where the conference was, we often prayed for each other. And whenever we prayed for each other, the dome was lifted. So the special way how we prayed is we sat close to each other and we had to put our hands on the person next to us on the shoulder. And then we shared a prayer. Declan, you did it. Exactly. So let's all do, find a person next to you. So maybe you have to move and you put your hand on that person. And I'm going to say a prayer and you can quietly share this prayer with me. And I'm hoping when we say this prayer, that something will lift in us, that we will have spiritual vision and see that God loves us, that God is for us, and that we have a mission in life. So let's do this now. Dear God, you know our burden, large and small. You know our struggles and you know our successes. I pray now that you will fill the heart, the person next to me, with the Holy Spirit. I pray that you will fill this person with peace so that the burdens and struggles are lifted and the dome above us is lifted. Let us see now possibilities and have the courage to move forward. All this we pray in the name of Jesus, who is for us. Amen.